From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Alyssa Block. This campaign season, there have been questions about whether George W. Bush fulfilled his obligations to the National Guard as a young lieutenant in the early 1970s. For weeks, reporters scoured Alabama in search of pilots or anyone else who might have remembered seeing Mr. Bush at the time he was serving in the National Guard there. There is one place in Alabama where Mr. Bush was present nearly every day, the headquarters in Montgomery of U.S. Senate candidate Winton Red Blunt. President Bush has always said that working for Blunt was the reason he transferred to the Alabama Air National Guard. NPR's Wade Goodwin has this report about Mr. Bush's time on that campaign.
In 1972, Baba Groom was a smart, funny young woman smack dab in the middle of an exciting U.S. Senate campaign. Groom was Republican Red Blunt's scheduler, and in that job, she was the hub in the campaign wheel. Ask her about the handsome young man from Texas, and she remembers him 32 years later like it was yesterday.
He would wear khaki trousers and some old jacket. He was always ready to go out on the road. On the phone, you could hear his accent. It was a Texas accent, but he just melded with everybody.
The candidate Mr. Bush was working for, Red Blunt, had gotten rich in Alabama in the construction business. Prominent Southern Republicans were something of a rare breed in those days. Blunt's support of the party led him to be appointed Richard Nixon's Postmaster General. In Washington, Blunt became friends and tennis partners with Mr. Bush's father, then Congressman Bush. That was how 26-year-old Lieutenant Bush came to Montgomery, at his father's urging. He was at loose ends at this point in his life, lacking a professional path and living the good life at night. But he had grown up in a prominent family, and he had charm and wit. Baba Groom, for one, was impressed.
It was interesting, Wade. He fit in. He fit into Alabama because he didn't look like he was the son of a powerful man. He was well-liked, fun to be around.
Groom says she knew the president well.
I saw him a lot, and when he wasn't in the office, he was calling in from the road. At night, we'd all go out to dinner, and there was a cafe in Montgomery at the time that was called the Elite. And we'd go, and we'd talk things over, and those were young days.
It was Mr. Bush's job to organize the Republican county chairpersons in the 67 Alabama counties. Back in 1972 in the Deep South, many rural counties didn't have much in the way of official Republican Party apparatus. But throughout Alabama, there were Republicans and Democrats who wanted to help Red Blunt. It was the young Texan's job to find out what each county leader needed in the way of campaign supplies and get those supplies to them. Groom says this job helped Mr. Bush understand how even in a statewide Senate campaign, politics are local.
It was his trial by fire. He really understood how important it is to organize, get the vote turned out, really find out who can deliver in every county. And he did his spade work during this campaign.
If Baba Groom was completely taken with the president, there were other staffers in the Red Blunt campaign who were less so. Murph Archibald is Red Blunt's nephew by marriage, and in 1972 he was coming off a 15-month tour in Vietnam in the infantry. Archibald says that in a campaign full of dedicated workers, Mr. Bush was not one of them.
Well, I was coming in early in the morning and leaving in mid-evenings. Ordinarily, George would come in around noon. He would ordinarily leave around 5:30 or 6 in the evening.
Archibald says that 2 months before the election, in September of 72, Red Blunt's campaign manager came to him and asked that he quietly take over Mr. Bush's job because the campaign materials were not getting out to the counties.
George certainly didn't seem to have any concerns about my taking over this work with the campaign workers there. My overall impression was that he didn't seem as interested in the campaign as the other people who were working at the state headquarters.
Murph Archibald says that at first he didn't know that Mr. Bush was serving in the Air National Guard. After he found out from somebody else, Archibald attempted to talk to Mr. Bush about it. The president was a lieutenant, and Archibald had been a lieutenant too. He figured they had something to talk about.
George didn't have any interest at all in talking about the military. In fact, when I broached the subject with him, he simply changed the subject. He wasn't unpleasant about it, but he just changed the subject and wouldn't talk about it.
Far from Texas and Washington, D.C., Mr. Bush enjoyed his freedom. He dated a beautiful young woman working on the campaign. He went out in the evenings and had a good time. In fact, he left the house he rented in such disrepair, with damage to the walls and a chandelier destroyed, that the Montgomery family who own it still grumble about the unpaid repair bill. Archibald says Mr. Bush would come into the office and, in a friendly way, offer up stories about the drinking he'd done the night before, kind of as a conversation starter.
People have different ways of starting the days in any office. They're going to talk about their kids, they're going to talk about football, they're going to talk about the weather. And this was simply his opening gambit. He would start talking about that he had been out late the night before drinking.
Archibald says the frequency with which Mr. Bush discussed the subject was off-putting to him.
I mean, at that time, I was 28, George would have been 25 or 26, and I thought it was really unusual that someone in their mid-20s would initiate conversations, particularly in the context of something as serious as a U.S. senatorial campaign, by talking about their drinking the night before. I thought it unusual and, frankly, inappropriate.
According to Archibald, Mr. Bush would also sometimes tell stories about his days at Yale in New Haven and how whenever he got pulled over for erratic driving, he was let go after the officers discovered he was the grandson of a Connecticut U.S. senator. Archibald, a middle-class Alabama boy, who, by the way, is now a registered Democrat, didn't like that story.
He told us that whenever he was stopped, as soon as law enforcement found out that he was the grandson of Prescott Bush, they would let him go. And he would always laugh about that.
But ask Baba Groom, and she says she never heard the future president brag about the fact that he was the son of a Texas congressman or the grandson of a U.S. senator from Connecticut. On the contrary, she says Mr. Bush was a pleasure to be around.
He was a natural leader. Didn't occur to me he would be president, but he was a natural leader, and he was an easy guy to know. You know, it was a tumultuous time, and he was watching. He wasn't acting.
As for those who are critical of Mr. Bush's style in his younger days, Groom says it simply took the president time to grow into the man he would become.
What they're really talking about is that until he turned 40 years old, he was trying to figure what he was going to really do. And you know, life acts on you as well as you act on your life. So events moved him forward too, propelled him.
At age 40, after a particularly hardy night, Mr. Bush decided he'd had his fill and gave up drinking for good. He made it appear as easy as turning off a spigot, a hint of the president's force of will. As for the differences in the way Baba Groom and Murph Archibald remember Mr. Bush during those months at Red Blunt's campaign, the campaign office manager, Joe Holcomb, thinks he might have an explanation.
Yeah, he was a very likable young man, and maybe more so to the ladies than he was to the men, but they tried to do what he was told to do as far as campaign work goes. He got along with the campaign staff, played tennis with everybody, and all those kind of things.
That November, Blunt decisively lost the Senate election to incumbent Democrat John Sparkman. The Republican Party's time in Alabama was coming. Red Blunt and his young lieutenant, George Bush, were just a little ahead of their time. Wade Goodwin, NPR News.